Is it the same packet as last time?
Yes. Yeah, the second semester of this class that starts beginning next semester, same month. Just different topics.
Okay, Rosa, shalom. Okay, thank you, Rabbi Orlian, again. So we're going to continue Yanim of Hilchos Mezuzah as we began last week. And those that could stay, we'll try to have the Mincha Minyan, Rabbi Arieli, Kaddish, so if you, like we had it worked out perfectly last Thursday, so hopefully we should work it out as well to have a minyan for Mincha here after the shiur. Okay, so I believe at the end of the shiur I was telling you the story with Rabbi Goldwicht on Purim. So 1 year on Purim, Rabbi Goldwicht before the Chagiga, so he has a masiba in his house on Purim night, and then they walk as a group to the Chagiga, and so in the middle he stopped by the door, and he was koveya a mezuzah on the front door of our building. I live in his building as well, 475 West 186th Street. So, and then that mezuzah lasted. I don't know, a couple of days, and then somebody moved it, and that was it. So the question is, what is the story? How come we don't have a mezuzah on our building? We don't have a mezuzah on our building. In other words, the private apartments have mezuzahs, but Bechara, there should be a mezuzah also on the building. Right on the building. So what is the issue here? Okay. So the Torah tells us, "Chsavtam al mezuzos pesecha uvisharecha." So the Gemara darshans in Masechta Yuma. There's the sugyas of mezuzah mainly in Menachos, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, they're there, and then in Yuma. Because it discusses the Lishkas Parhedrin, where they put the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, and whether those Lishkos in the needed mezuzahs or not. So, so the Gemara tells us, Beisecha uvisharecha, that Shar Ha'ir requires a mezuzah. In other words, if you have a city, and it's a walled city, so you need to put a mezuzah on the doors of that city. Shar Ha'ir requires a mezuzah. Provided that Jews inhabit that city. If it's a city that the Goyim live in, so then, obviously, the Nachayev. So the Shar Ha'ir requires a mezuzah. Because it's a place where people live. No one lives in the street. I mean, maybe some communities, people also live in the street. But in general, you live in the house, but it's leading into the diros. So then the Shar Ha'ir requires a mezuzah. So it's a parallel construct when you have an apartment building and you have a opening to the apartment building and now you have many apartments. So that's very similar to a Shar Ha'ir because it's the same idea that you have this outer entrance leaning into several private apartments. So, based on that Gemara, it should come out that you need a mezuzah on the outer doorway of the building. So, why don't we have a mezuzah? So the first question one has to ask is, the first question is, you have a shahr ha'ir, and that requires a mezuzah. So who has to be living? Jews. Does it have to be 100% Jews? That's not going to be so easy to... I mean, in our building, we're pretty good. Somebody told my wife that she wanted to get some exercise, and she lives on a low floor, so she goes up and down the stairs just for exercise, and then she just looks at all the counts all the mezuzahs in the building. So, yeah, so we're pretty good, you know, how many mezuzahs we have, but we're not perfect, you know. So there's a Rashi in Yuma. The Rashi in Yuma, on Daf Yud Aleph, says Rov Yisrael, that the concept of mezuzah on Shar Ha'ir, you need Rov Yisrael. And if you have Rov Yisrael, then it's Chayif. So I always grew up on that Rashi. The Shech has quoted this Rashi. And the question is, the Or Sameach talks about this, that, but in other words, it's a machlokis where they have a shutuf with a goy. And say you have a roommate, right? And you have so you both own the apartment or share the apartment. So you have, you each stay in your own room, but then you have the outer door, which leads into the whole apartment. But you're a shutuf with the goy. So so most poskim, we assume that a shutuf with an akum patters from mezuzah. Whenever you have a shutuf with an akum, patters with mezuzah. So the question is, so how come over here the Rashi says Rov Yisrael is sufficient? Well, one goy should patter. As long as there's one goy in the city, then the Shahr Ha'ir should not require a mezuzah. So the Or Sameach explains, that no, if you have a dira, and that dira is a makom that a Jew lives and a goy lives, so then that dira is, so you have a roommate that's a goy, and you live there, he lives there, so then it's potter, because a goy is a chelik of the dira, it's potter. But if the chiv mezuzah of a shahr ha'ir, is that it's leading to diros, but it's not because the shahr ha'ir is the dira itself. It's leading up to diros. So then, as long as it's Rov Yisrael, then we could say that this shahr is for Yisrael, because it's not the dira b'fnei atzma. In other words, the din of shutuf akum, Yosef Sameach explains, Shapta mentioned, is when B'toras Atzmo. When it's B'toras Atzmo, it's a dira that two people live, one Jew, one goy. It's B'toras Atzmo. So then there's a p'tur when there's a goy there. But if it's not B'toras Atzmo, it's leading up. So then what? So then, as long as you could view this shahr as a shahr for Yisraelim, and you go Basaruba, and that's how he explains Rashi in Yuma. So therefore, many poskim hold that if you have a shahr ha'ir, and the Rashi says in Yuma you need Rov Yisrael, so then it's chayiv. What would be an example of that? Rabbi Harfinus wrote a piece once. There's a place in Brooklyn called what?
Seagate.
Seagate. Who lives in Seagate? Mordechai Ben David? Right? No. He was a Seagate. The Ribnitzer Rebbe, right? Passed away. Whatever. Seagate. So it's a mokum that is mukof mechitza. Rov Yisrael. Yishalayim is what? Rov Akum. The old city. So Rov Akum is not chayiv, even though you'll see mezuzahs on the gates, right? In Yerushalayim. The Atika. But so Mamela, that should follow the
Just to clarify, since
both in the apartment and the Shiva city, they're both leading to a Jew's home. The distinction is that since the guy owns part of the apartment.
In other words, when the Chiv Mezuzah is B'Toras Atzmo, not B'Toras leading up, but this is the Dira. Mm-hmm. So then once a guy has a chalik in the Dira, so then he's Potter.
Why isn't ownership a factor in the city? If a non-Jew owns the city.
But here it's not calling on a question of ownership by a city. It's a question of, in other words, can we label this shahr as of a shahr for the Tzorach of Yisraelim? And there, it's not B'Toras the Dira Atzmo, it's B'Toras what? Where it leads up to. Now, if you don't like this far, in other words, this is the Or Sameach, how he explains, maybe Rav Shecht also mentioned it, but the Or Sameach explains like that. You could say you don't hold some such a distinction, right? And I'll tell you in a second that it should be the same, right? If you want to not, you know, you could, in other words, the Or Sameach is a Svara, it's a good Svara, but it's not, you know, one could say differently. One could say that just like if my Dira, I have a Shutta for the Akum, and the same thing by so I'll get to that, but there's one could make that chiluk that what we just
in the Reuben example, even your personal bedroom doesn't require a mezuzah, or just the front door of
the apartment. In the roommate
example.
Well, is he rooming in your, he's in the same room with you or no?
No,
you're in your own room, so then your room requires, his doesn't, and then the outer kinesa to the apartment would be sort of like that would be a question. Okay. Yeah. Were you, Avram?
No, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
So I presumably you need rogue Jews in the building, or sorry, in the year, because otherwise it's like considered like a non-Jewish city, like,
right.
And they're mevutel. Then why? So then also. Half and half would also be good enough in order. You don't need rove Jews, you just need at least.
Well, rove. Rashi says rove Yisrael. So rove is not half.
If it's 50-50, then why wouldn't it be okay?
Well, that's a mechza mechza is a question whether that's rove or not. Gosh, rove is rove. Okay? Now, one could, as I told you, that maybe one could argue with this thing and say it's not true. That you need, that according to the Manda Omar, that you need a shutuf of Akum Paters, so then maybe once there's one guy in the city, then it's over. I remember one year I was in the Sukkah in the Lower East Side. The Lower East Side is a very unique that... we have communal sukkahs. So someone said to me, it's like camp. You know, you're in the same sukkah with 100 people. And then this other set of buildings has a sukkah with another 100 people. And it's very nice. I think it's very nice. So many sukkahs, we were together with Rav David Feinstein in the sukkah. So that's the best time to talk and learning, because when you're in sukkah, you don't go anyplace. So I once asked him, his opinion on mezuzah on an elevator, the building, an elevator. So there's a big machlokas whether an elevator needs a mezuzah or not. The pashas to me, Rav Asher Weiss says the truth is like Rav Shlomo Zalman held that not. That because an elevator doesn't have a permanent stair. In other words, it's basically a hole. And then this thing is... In other words, one discussion is you put it on the moving part of the elevator, even if you're putting it on the part that's, you know, on the part that's not moving, but it's... you're walking into a hole. So every once in a while, hopefully when you get... you press the button, it opens, you know... Unfortunately, there have been accidents in elevators, but it should never be an accident. You walk into this thing that's transporting you. So, whether that is considered a dira kvua, you know, like, so So Rav Shlomo Zalman, I believe, held it was part of the Gamri. Others hold like that. I remember many years ago I went to see Rav Eliashiv's, the whole setup there by Rav Eliashiv, and we were, my wife and I were sitting, we were waiting outside, he was supposed to come out. So he had a private elevator in his house, and there was a mezuzah on the elevator. So Rav David Feinstein told me he thought in a building to have an elevator, yeah, should have a mezuzah, but provided there's Kol Yisrael. So I asked him, what about the Rashi and Yuma? So he said he doesn't think we pass him like that Rashi. Why? Because his shita was against the Osameach. His shita was against the Osameach, that if you hold Shutas of Akum's Pater, so then the same thing by Shar Ha'ir. It's the same thing. So once there's one guy in the city, well, that's over. Then there's no Chiyav. To me, it's a bit of a doichak to say that the whole, you know, it's hard to, you know, the whole Gemara that's talking about that the Shar Ha'ir has a Chiyav Mezuzah, Kol Yisrael, is a little bit doichak. But so he thought it was Hab HaTalia, so if you didn't like the Svarad Rosh Sameach, so Dov Feinstein held the other way. So Lamaisa, so the question of about the building is this Shaila, whether you need, because we have Rov Yisrael, that we do have in our building, that we have Rov Yisrael, and we don't have Kol Yisrael, so then that's Talai on this Machlokas, whether the Shar Ha'ir needs, you hold like Rashi, or you say that the Rishonim that hold that Shutuf Akum is Potter, is the same idea. So Lamaisa, so what happened was like this. Once YU bought the buildings, you know, originally when I first moved in, the YU didn't own the buildings. Then they bought the buildings. So they said, now they bought the buildings, now we should put a mezuzah up on the front door. Then they took out the tree. There was no tree during a certain time of the year. That was, no more. And now you should put up a mezuzah. So, you know, the bureaucracy, you fill out this form, you got to fill out the form, and another form. And so with all this thing, it never... And then in Seagate, what they did was, Rabbi Harfinis wrote a piece, see, there's another halacha, that if you're afraid that the post can bring down, that the mezuzah is going to get destroyed, if you put it there, then you're potter from mezuzah. In other words, if you're mokum of akum, and they'll take it down and destroy it. So then that's Ptur from a mezuzah. So that was the question, what's going to happen in Seagate? So this was the decision. They're going to put up a mezuzah without the cloth and see if that gets taken. And if that stays, then they can move up to the next step and actually put the cloth there. And I don't know, last time somebody said they don't think there's a mezuzah there. So Rav Abadi thought, you know, Washington Heights, people are gonna take the mezuzah, and Rav David thought it's potter anyway because of the shutaf akum. So that's why I didn't. So originally, you know, I said we should put it up, definitely put it up. But then, you know, they had these other two count as far as not to, so I didn't push the envelope anymore. Till Rabbi Goldrich decided to do it, and that lasted for 3 days, and somebody moved. I don't know who moved the mezuzah, and then there was never an attempt at that point, to my knowledge, to put it up again. But there are the svaras to be makel are that you need Kol Yisrael against the Rashi, or that it is a mokum that, that people will take it, and therefore that would be another svar. But if you think these svaras don't apply, then there could be maybe another attempt to put it up again.
And you're still tied to putting this up on a house that you don't own, where you have no any sort of...
Oh, yeah, so 1 second. So then, yeah, so that was when... You know, YU owned the mezuzah, so that's why I was telling YU that they should, have to fill out the form, this and that. Now YU doesn't own it anymore. Now, but it's still owned by Yisrael.
It's not telling the owner, it's telling the
Dar. Dar, right. Chovas Adar, right. So Chorot should still, you know, So the people should get together, but these are the svaras, l'chum l'chula, etc.
If a non-Jew owns the building, but every resident's a Jew, then you should for sure need
other people. Yeah, socher, like Rabbi Orlean said, it's all socher to put the mezuzah. Okay, so that was the story. There is a discussion in the Gemara about what is called dira. As we see, mezuzah, as Rabbi Orlean said, mezuzah chovas hadar. You need to. It's a chov on the person who's dwelling. It's a din in dwelling. So what does that mean, dwelling? So Rav Mari thinks the Pashas says it means that you live there. The Shulchan Aruch says that a base Knesset is not chayiv in mezuzah because no one lives there, unless someone lives there. No one lives in a base Knesset. But it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a base Medrash has two opinions, that a base Medrash maybe is chayiv in mezuzah. One opinion says potter, one opinion says chayiv. So the Shach says that the Beis Medrash is talking about a Beis Medrash where people are learning there the whole day, basically. And therefore that's chayiv in mezuzah. Because it's similar to a dira, that people are there so often.
Would you make a bracha on that?
Yeah, so no, you wouldn't make a bracha because there's an opinion that says that the Beis Medrash is potter in mezuzah. You know, the Rush tells the famous story of the Maram Rutenberg that he would go to sleep, he would learn the whole day, and sometimes in the afternoon he would take a little nap in the Beis Medrash, and the Ruach Ra disturbed him to taking his nap, and then he put up a mezuzah and then the Ruach Ra went away. So Rav Abadi said to me, if it was really chayev, why didn't he do it originally? So the pashas is that it's not a real dira, like Rav Abadi says. Not a real dira, like Rav Abadi said. But it's dumya the dira. So that's why... But you have to realize that a base medrash, like I said, from the shach, it's where they learn there, you know, he says... You know, in the shuls, in the old shuls, maybe in the new shuls too, you know, unfortunately the attendance in shul on Shabbos wasn't always as big as the attendance during the week, wasn't as big as Shabbos. So the old shuls, they always had the big sanctuary that was for the Shabbos, and then they had a smaller room for the weekday. And they called that the Beis Medrash. And the other they called the shul. So that has no halachic bearing. That was just a thing that they called the big room the Beis Knesset and the small room the Beis Medrash. But that doesn't have a status of Beis Medrash unless face people actually learning there, you know, the whole day. So then you could say it's doing the dira. So they call it a Beis Medrash. It doesn't matter what you call it. It matters the functionality of it. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, what about Beis HaOtzar? What about if it's a place of storage? What about if it's a place of storage? So a place of storage, you don't live in there. You don't live in a place of storage. So there's a machlokas Rishonim between the Rosh and the Rambam. Whether you chayev on a Beis HaOtzar. One sheet says that only if the women, you know, get dressed there or do things in the Beis HaOtzar. And the other sheet says no. In other words, the first sheet says that you have to have people actually doing things there, not just you store things in there. The Rambam says you have to, but the Rosh says no. Base Tevin, base Eitzim, it's Chayovim. It's Chayovim b'Mezuzah. So the question is, so where's the Dira? Where's the Dira? So I heard from Rav Abadi, and then I saw quoted Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky say the same thing, that they thought that a base ha'otzer is only chayev if it's samach to a makom di ramamish. In other words, you have a closet that you keep the it's a big closet. You keep the wine, you keep the Cheerios, you keep the different things in there. So then you're constantly going to that closet. Say it's a walk-in closet. You're going there back and forth. So that's part of your life, your living quarters. But say you have these things. You ever travel on the highway? You always have these big billboards for the storage. You know, you've seen them, storage billboards. So no one's living there. It's just pure storage. So Rav Abadi and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky thought that even the shitas that hold that a base the rush that holds that a base otzer is chayiv, that type of base otzer would not be because it's not nitpol to a deer. A similar discussion by garages, whether a garage is chayiv in so a garage is usually part of your house, a garage, you know, it's so. The only thing is that Bertzina discusses that if a garage, if you only keep your car there, so because if you keep it, you keep your wine and different things that you bring into the house, so maybe that's different. See, the question is with Dira. This is the main question that has to be resolved. Does Dira mean actually living there? You know, doing something of, or just people just coming in and out. Is that enough to call that a dira? So Rav Abadi's of the shita that no, you have to have a mamash, a real dira. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that a chanus, a store, is not chayiv in mezuzah because it's not open at night. It's only open in the daytime. So it's not a full-fledged dira. So that's what the Taz holds. But others poskim hold that if people come in and out, that's considered a dira. In fact, Rav Darzi, he's a fellow in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Darzi, he writes this sefarim called Shvus Yitzchak. He's a Talmud of Rav El Yashiv. He writes very nice sefarim. So just this week in the library, last week they got a new volume on mezuzahs. I figure if I give a share of mezuzahs, I should read through. So he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv. He has some shir like face once a month or something like that. That's good enough, to say that it's a deer, it's that someone's coming in. If you say that coming in is, but l'chora, at most I would say put up a mezuzah without a brach. I wouldn't use the svara that coming in is good enough to call a dira, even if you're not it's a real dira. Maybe a kach, you want to put up a mezuzah, so you can put up a mezuzah. But to make a brach, that's a big shayla of a brach of atala. That's why when they dedicated the Gluck building here, they had a whole ceremony, and part of the ceremony was, I think, President Joel was going to put a mezuzah in the front door here, and they made Hatova Meitiv. They didn't make Lepo Mezuzah. Because this is a shayla, whether, this is a... So if you hold that just, people Yotzei V'Nichnos is called a Dira, so then there's maybe a real Chiyuv. But if not, but if you need a real Dira, then it's not a real Dira here.
Yeah,
the car is different. It's metal. It moves. It's the cautious.
Is it worse than an elevator?
I don't know. Is it Dalet al Dalet? I don't know how tall is it. I don't know. You have to see the dimensions. But cautious is we don't put mezuzahs on cars.
Even on mobile.
Oh, mobile home. Okay, that's different. We'll see. We'll see in a second. So certainly, I would tell anybody that if it's not a real dira, you want to put it up in an office, in a catering hall, in an office, and this. I wouldn't make any any brachas, like any brachas. Only Rav Abadi, he's a purist, so he holds, you know, his sheet, like I said last week, not dalad dalad, no mezuzah. So it's not a mokum dira. No, so there was one yeshiva in Lakewood, YTT in Lakewood, where the head of it was one of his talmidim, so they don't have any mezuzahs on the doors of the yeshiva, because he holds, you know, purist, that it's not a dira. Only Rav Abadi holds only in the dormitory. That's the dira. But if you hold like the other svara, then that the yotzi v'nichtas is enough. And then the question is, how often does the yotzi v'nichtas have to be? So I told you, Rav Darzi quotes chveis from Rav Yashiv maybe once a month or something like that. Then there's what.
Why would yotzi v'nichtas be sufficient for a store but not for a base process or base manager?
Oh, so then you have to come on because the dira, the tashmish of kedusha doesn't count.
Okay, good.
Right, so and that's why, that's how they explain those poskim that say that's good for why. No one lives there. So why don't you have Mechayev al the Yotziv Nichtas, but it's the Tashmish Shel Kedusha. But if you hold this the other way, then not. Okay. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about we had to put the mezuzah on the door, right? So we discussed the different shitas. You know, it has to be the yomin of the derech knisa, right? We discussed, and not derech yitziyah. We discussed one mezuzah per door, etc. So the Gemara says what? That you put it on the shlish hatachton. Shlisha Elyon. In other words, the mezuzah has to be on the bottom of the top third. And if it's lower than that, you're not Yotze. So that you have to be careful that the whole mezuzah is on. In other words, but if it's not, then if it's lower than that, then that's psul even a field b'di'evit. They talk about, you don't say chveis a little kid's bedroom, so you want him to be able to, so it be lower. That's a bittul mitzvah if you would do that. But put it lower for him, that would be you should pick him up and let him, if he wants to touch the mezuzah, kiss the mezuzah. But to put it lower, that's a bittul mitzvah.
Some of these
and
the
departments,
they're straight and
then
the tops like a curve. So
what are
the top?
Is the top of the we're going to get to that. So that's the Shlisha Elyon. So the Yerushalmi, there's a Yerushalmi in Megillah that's quoted in the Shach that says if you have a very tall Pesach, then you put it shoulder height. You put the mezuzah shoulder height. You see, there's a one when you go into the library, in one of the doorways on the ground floor of the library, a very tall Pesach. So you put it. So the Yerushalmi says to put it on shoulder height, and the Shach quotes this Yerushalmi, and that became the standard psak, this Yerushalmi. But you put it. Even though that's going to be lower than the Shlish Elyon, nonetheless, that's what the Yerushalmi says. Go to the Shach. So Chacham Rav Avadi Yosef in the Tshuva, he bucks the system. He says no, it's not quoted in the Mechaber. He doesn't think you should paskin like this Yerushalmi. So he's a purist in the other direction. That he thinks it always should be in the Shlish Elyon. No matter what, even if it's a big doorway and you know very tall and you're not going to see it, whatever. That's the halacha. Shlish Elyon. And the Gemara doesn't say otherwise. So that's what he holds. So I'm sure that's what he tells people who asked him. But that's not the Rov Shitas of the way you know in Mora Harago usually do follow this Yerushalmi and Shachar.
the shaksim that you're yotzi at shoulder height, even if you could put it in the shleisha, it wouldn't be too high?
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. Okay. So then the Chacham of Avadya says, oh, so there is, so I always thought, so there are like two tracks here. There's the normal track where you put in the Shlish Elyon, and then the tall track. You know? And that's what the Yishami says. So Rav Abadi once told me he thought not that way. He thought that it's one shita. And that is, the Shlish Elyon is just a hashara of the shoulder height. That's what the Shlish Elyon means. Shoulder height. So therefore it should be nikar when you're going in, and that's what it is. So one day I found that the Chazon Ish also said the same thing. Where is this Chazon Ish? So there's a sefer called Orchas Rabbeinu. Orchas Rabbeinu is of Avraham Horowitz, interesting man. He wrote, he was very close with the Stipler. So he wrote the sefer, multiple svarim, 5-6 svarim, on all the different hanhagas of the Stipler in Halacha. Very nice sefer, and you know, goes through all of Shulchan Aruch, and you know, or Chaim Yeridaya, different things, different years. So, and but once you're talking about the Stipler, so then the Chazon Ish is like, you know, next door, so to speak. So, the Chazon Ish's hanhagas got in there as well. So he wrote that the Chazon Ish wasn't so machpid about the Shlish Elyon, as long as it was shoulder height. That's what the Chazon Ish. So that was similar to what Rav Abadi said, this idea. Yeah.
You say shoulder height like after Rav Panayana, or just like what, the guy Panayana doesn't have to stay very short, he can do his own shoulder height?
Yeah, in other words, yeah, the person whose chiv it is. I mean, what if he's a midget, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, midget, and he owns the house. Okay. Shoulder height, you know, normal people, you know, maybe if he's so different. Okay, we'll have to... You get a midget or a giant, we'll deal with them.
Is Rabbi going to address? I mean, I found the scenario that recently happened with us is where sometimes the bottom of the top third is way lower than shoulder height. Like, it's more like at the elbow, but some of these smaller, if you divide up the, you know, so is there a few discussions really that would be more of an
Well, where?
Then, well, since it would really be at the elbow if you do the bottom of the top third. So is there more of an
Indian? You mean
6 foot?
Yeah.
Doorways
is at least 4 feet high.
Mm-hmm. You can have a 10 fachim doorway, and then you crawl in.
No. I'm saying, but even sometimes an average door, my father just had to put up a mezuzah, and he said that if he measures his dividing it into three, he felt like it was much closer to his elbow than his, and he felt like it was a bit strange. So he wanted to.
I'd like to see that doorway.
It's going to have to be at least 4 feet high.
Yeah. Right. How tall is your father?
Yeah, I guess it's not that tall. He's saying usually it's...
No. Usually it's going to work out. In other words, if you have these big things, then... So that's what Rabbi explained to me. He thought it wasn't two separate halachas. It was one and the same. So the Yerushalmi is just telling you that chaiching up, the Shlish Elyon means that, so it's not that it's a separate halacha that when it's... So this is very relevant for the following discussion. The kitchens, you know, who was talking about before, the kitchens in the heights. They have the, what are we talking about? They have the curve, and anyone have a marker? And draw you a picture of the
Beis Yitzchak
article. Yeah, so the Beis Yitzchak article has that picture.
You go to my email, Google.
Go to the email, Google.
You early in gmail.com.
That's the picture. Okay, but in a second, if you give me the thing, I'll draw it for you. Um, So, okay. So, Bekitzer, let's say another halacha before we get to that. Another halacha is that it's the tefach achitzon. But sometimes people have these big doorways. So the whole doorway takes a nice amount. Like this doorway is very thin. Not too much room here. Sometimes you have like an archway that the doorway itself is thick. So a lot of people, you know, they want to be symmetrical. So if you do symmetrical, they put it in the middle. Right? Looks nicer that way. It's symmetrical. So, but the Gemara says you're supposed to put it in the tefach achitzon. So that means that you put it on the outer part of the doorway. On the outer tefach. Not likuva. Huh? Okay. It's not likuva, but I was at a shul this Friday night, so Rabbi Wienblank said, someone asked him, what's the din if somebody had the mezuzah supposed to be pointing in and it was pointing out? So I thought that it wasn't, and he told me so the whole Sadar that that's not likuva. It looks weird. And you do, but it's not likuva. This is in the right, it's in the right place. And tefach achitzon is also not likuva, but it's the proper way is to put it in the tefach achitzon. So this whole doorway is only a tefach. So everything here is a tefach achitzon. But if it would be a wider thing, then put it in a tefach achitzon. Okay, so the child we talked about before is what happens if you have these, sometimes you have these kitchens in the heights that they have these protrusions from the side, right? There's that little arch, you know what I'm talking about, and then there's protrusion, and then it goes down. So do you put it on the arch over here, or do you put it on the cabin. little thing there? So if it's not ten tefachim, there's nothing to talk about. But usually they are ten tefachim. So these. Okay, I'll do it. Yeah. That's what he gave me. I got it. One second, I got it. Yeah, that's right. Here we're talking. Okay. So you walk in this way. Right? So do you put it on here, on this thing, or do you put it here? That's the question. But now, this question is compounded by
Peter Bullock.
So you're going in here. So I always tell people there are four possible places to put the mezuzah. Because first you have to factor in, you know, because usually it's not dalal al dalal, so you have to factor in the chamudi d'nil and the Rebbe Kivager, whether you're going in or going out. So you can either, right? And then you have to factor in whether you're going to put it here or you put it here. And on the side that it's going out, so you put it here or you put it here. So there is a Nesivus. You know, the Nesivus wrote the Sivus Sitter, which is a sitter with the psakim of the Nesivus, the Derech Chaim. Now, somebody had a smart idea one day and said, you know, do we really need the sitter? We have plenty of Sidurim. So we'll just print it with the psakim to get the sitter. So there are a couple of maduras of that. And it's just the psakim of the Derech Chaim. So he has a lot of important psakim in all areas of halacha that are in the Derech Chaim. So the Derech Chaim, he writes, and the Pesukei Teshuva quotes it, that if this is ten tefachim, so then you can put it on on the bottom. It's 10 tefachim. It's not 10 tefachim, not. So that's how some people follow. So I was very happy that, you see, but I never liked this thing. I never liked this idea that people put it on the low thing. I thought intuitively didn't like it until the day came where I saw quoted the Sefer Das Kedoshim. Das Kedoshim was a big achron. His name is Warman. Rabbi Warman from Hank was a descendant of the Das Kedoshim. So the bottom of the Das Kedoshim was in the Kedula Hektish, is that what I quote in the article?
Mikdash Maat.
Mikdash Maat, okay. Mikdash Maat. Mikdash Maat, he says that no, that that din of the Nesivas only meant if you're going to put it on the lower thing, it'll still be in the Shlish Elyon. So then you put it on the lower thing. But if it's not going to be on the Shlish Elyon, so then he thinks it's not proper to put it here. It's not proper to put it here because it's below the Shlish Elyon. There was a chor of the Shlish Elyon, and this works in good when I write in the article. If you hold that the whole, it's one din, that Yerushalmi and this is one halacha. So the point being is that the Torah was kovei the halacha with shoulder height Shlish Elyon. It's all the same that it should be niker when you're walking in. You should be able to see the mezuzah and remind you of the mezuzah, what all the mezuzah represents. So just like the Yerushalmi says, when it's too high, you know, you don't put it in the Shlish Elyon because you're not going to see it. So too, when it's too low, also when you walk normal, it's going to be over here. So some people are of the opinion that you always put it on the bottom. So I'm not from those people. I'm from the people that say that you shouldn't put it there because it's because of the Mikdash Maat. So I was very excited about this Mikdash. That was like made my day, my year. You know that the Mikdash Maat said this because now what works into the whole pattern that I had there, that it's all a din and being nicker, and it's all a din. I mean, you have a din, you know, when you put a mezuzah, like in you don't see this in America. In Eretz Israel, you see you have the Yerushalayim stones, and they put the mezuzah in the thing, right?
Embedded
in the wall, in the stone. So the halacha is that if you plaster it over, it's no good. It's not nikar. Mezuzah has to be nikar. That's like an ikuva in Hilchas Mezuzah, that it should be nikar, even though the mezuzah is there. Mamish there. But if you plaster it over, now it's not nikar. So kilu is gone. Kilu is gone, even though the mice it's there. So I'm not claiming to have the only opinion on this matter. I told you there are four possible shitas you can have. And I'm not, but if somebody asks me what they should do, so I'm not from the Rabbi Kiva Eger people, as I told you last week. And so either I tell them like this, Meikra did its potter, right? Meikra did its potter. That's the first thing I say.
Dollar,
it's potter. Right? If you want to be Choshes, Chamudi, then Eel, so Choshes then, and then put it on top here, not over here. That's what I think the pasuk says. I'm not saying this is the only sheet that is out there, but when you pass a shayla for somebody, you have to give them. Everything's a machlokes in halacha. Mor Hora has to say this is it. This is what you got to do. This is what I think you should do. You know, five different sheetas and this. You know, I was giving a nida bechina to the smicha fellows before, so I wanted to see how they would pass concerned child. I want to know their three sheikhs. Okay, they're three sheikhs, but now what? You know, a woman calls you up, she doesn't want a child. No, they're three sheikhs. Okay, they're three sheikhs, but you have to be machria, which is the sheikh that you think people should follow. So that's what I. So I don't think it should be on the bottom. Now sometimes, So someone told me, a big Tam Chacham from Williamsburg, Rabbi Chaim Kalman Gutman, I could be a quote of it, said he thought that putting it here is a problem of Mamik Tefach. There is a din in Hilchas Mezuzah in when you put it in the wall, like the Yerushalayim scenario, is that it has to be within the tefach. In other words, the tefach of the thickness of the, if you're putting it in the wall, it has to be within the outermost tefach. Not the same type of outermost tefach as we discussed when you're putting it outside. It has to require where, how far into the room you put it. So he said, so over here it's considered like man, because there's more than a tefach here. So therefore he thought, you can put it here, it's like mambik tefach. I'm not convinced by that. Because I thought that mambik tefach is only then when it's in the wall. But not in the wall, even though there's lemaisa, it's still liquor over here. So I thought, So lemaisa, most of the shilas in the heights are usually only, you know, the rabbanon shilas, and they're not dalal al dalal, and it's by schura and everything. But now, the shaila that really gets me, and this is the... I think someone showed me is like this. In some of the nice big homes in Phoenix or somewhere, wherever they are, you have like this. This is a much more significant shaila. And... is like this. You have a mamish a molding. Mamish a molding. Okay? And then you have like a piece of wall here. Now the molding is thicker than the wall. I can't draw that in the picture to show you, you know. But then you walk in over here. So where do you put the mezuzah? Do you put the mezuzah over here or over here? So again, obviously, as I told you, the wall is not the whole, it's just, the molding is thicker than what the wall is, so there's a place to put the... So this is a shiloh, it could be a shiloh for the rice, because this is going into these big homes. And a lot of times there's a big room there, so it's not the dalal al dalal issue. And these, some are of the opinion that the Pesach is over here. So you shouldn't put it over here, because the Pesach is over here, therefore you should put it over here. So I'm not convinced about that, because to me, the Torah's Machayev Mezuzos Pesach. So this is the mezuzah. This is just a thing there. They didn't want to have a wall, a door on the whole thing. So they have a normal sized door, and they put this, you know, a nice a piece of thing. So you can't walk here. This is a similar shaila. I'll tell you a similar shaila that I've gotten is like this. I'm sure you've seen these. You have these fancy pillars, right, in the doorway. So, you just draw it a little bit better. These fancy pillars. So where are you walking to walk in the room? You walk over here. You can't fit between the pillar and the thing here, you won't be able to fit. Maybe if you're a frog, you can fit it. But, you know, but you can't fit. So Rav Abadi, he's on the sheet that you put it over here, on the pillar. So I'm not convinced about that. I thought the woman Staber that on the mezuzah, because this is the mezuzah's HaPesach. This is the mezuzah's HaPesach. I have a piece of my Sefer Neirim that I'm discussing something similar with this. So some people hold the big believers. What?
Lovin? It's a
Lovin. And I don't know. and this is only like Zukei Tikra anyway. You know, like a lot of times Poskim Paskin that you have these big beams in front of the house, and there's something on it that they don't put a mezuzah on it because it's only they're decorative, right? So yeah, or they're just you know.
Like
you
can't believe it would be time, no?
Decorative or something. So, okay, Tikra, these things might not be right. So I'm always of the opinion, you know, that I'm not willing to fully. I mean, it's still always like, you know, these kashas, you know, these are the Rahman Shilas, and this is much more Kala, and I told you, Mikra didn't, I hold the kitchens are putter anyway. But these are real, much more serious Shilas. But to me, this is not the mezuzah's heart. So someone is saying, well, you need to put it in the Pesach. In the Pesach. So I wasn't totally, I'm still a work in progress, but maybe I'll find another Mikdash Ma'at that talks on this. But Rav showed it to me recently on his phone. Now, these days they show you Shilas on the phone. You know, on his phone, and they said, "Oh, his mom is this Shiloh." I said, "I hate this Shiloh because I don't have a. I think this is the. I think it should be over here, and I'm not. But it's a Shiloh of a Daraisa, so it's like, you know. But the Washington Heights people is the Shilohs are much low. The stakes are much lower. So, you know, so." Yeah, so let's talk about a little bit more about Washington Heights. What do we say about Washington Heights? Okay. So Washington Heights is all by Schura, right? It's all rented. So the pashtus is we assume that by Schura is only Midrabanan. By Schura is only Midrabanan. That's how we assume. It's only Midrabanan. Because it's not your house. It's not your house. It's only Schura. That's why there's some poskim hold that by Schura is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I believe, like this, that if there's no door, in other words, the Rambam Shita, as we mentioned last week, that you need a door. If there's no door, there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. And we don't paskin like the Rambam. We paskin that there is a Chiyuv Mezuzah, but we're. There is a chiyuv mezuzah, but we do it without a bracha. So some achronim say, I believe there's a Rebbe Akiva Eiger that says that if it's a bayis chura anyway, and that's not without a door, so that's a suffik derabbanan lekula. That's a suffik derabbanan lekula, and therefore you shouldn't need any mezuzah. So lemaisa we're machmir to put mezuzahs on a bayis chura even in doorways that don't have doors. Now the halacha is that a bayis chura in chutz la'aretz, it's pater kol shloshim yom. Right? In Eretz Yisrael you have to put it up right away. In chutz la'aretz, it's pater kol shloshim yom. So only on the 31st day you have to put up the mezuzah. So that's the question. When do you put up the mezuzah? So some of the opinion that you should wait till day 31. That's the simple idea. Wait till day 31, and that's you'll be chayav. In other words, the day you move in is day 1, and then you wait till day 31. On day 31, you put up the mezuzah. Others are choshish that there's maybe an opinion of the Derech Chaim, our same Derech Chaim, that says that that if you already had das to live in the house more than 30 days from the beginning, so then you should put it up right away. Maybe even with a bracha. And then Rav Shechter likes to quote Rav Shachs in the Avi Ezri, has this idea of if you have a lease or something like that, and you know it's for more than 30 days, so then you could, then the chiv is right away. and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer on Masechta Mezuzah, he says that he thinks that technically speaking, if you put the mezuzah up even before the chiyuv, as long as the structure is there. In other words, as long as the structure is there, he thinks that what does he compare it to? Shechita. You can make a bracha on the shechita, even though you're not eating it now, whatever. You're making it roi l'dira. You don't have to necessarily put it up when the chiyuv. That's what he's convinced of. That you don't necessarily have to put it up when the chiyuv sets in. Because the chiyuv sets in later, but he thinks that you could still put it. So l'maisa, b'tzirif all these things, I tell people if they have the mezuzah, they want to put it up right away. B'tzirif all these different tzadim of the Derech Chaim or the 30 days, or of Shechtas Rav Shach about the lease, or about, or Rav Chaim Kanievsky's thing. So, I tell them they can put it up already. If somebody doesn't have a mezuzah, then I tell them that they can be makel to wait till they 31. And we point out that the day that you move in is the day one. In other words, when you put your belongings in there, you move in, so that doesn't count. And Rav Abadi said to me once, "Afilu manda omer that a base otzar the shitaso is chayiv in mezuzah. That's only Rav Abadi the shitaso when there's a dira there. When there's a dira there. So therefore, if you didn't move in yet, even though your chafatzim are there, then you didn't start the dira process yet. So b'meila, it won't count yet to day one." So if somebody needs to be makel, there's yeshal milismoch to bechutz laaretz to put it up on day 31.
Can you tell them to say bracha before?
Yeah. So what about with the bracha? So the bracha story. So I rely that they can even say bracha before day 31, but tziruf all these. Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought it's pashut. He thought that it should be okay. And together with all the other svaras that I mentioned before, Rav Moshe Feinstein was more cautious with the bracha. So he comes up with this thing, Rav Moshe, that put it up right away to be cautious of the opinion kind of right away. But then on day 31, put your hand on the mezuzah and make the bracha then. So that's a big chiddush. Rav Shechter is very into the Rav Soloveitchik's idea, which I think is a very mistaber idea. Not all the poskim hold this way, that a Birchas HaMitzvah has to be done on a Maisa Mitzvah. And if you're not doing a Maisa, so if day 31, the mezuzah is already there, and you're just putting your hand there, that's not a Maisa Mitzvah, then there's no bracha if there's no Maisa Mitzvah. So Rav Moshe clearly didn't hold that way, and there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchas Neir Shabbos that if there's a Magen Avraham say Hilchas Neir Shabbos, if it's the old days they used to have weddings on Friday, that was like I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, one of his children got married on Friday. We don't usually do that as much as that, get married on Friday. So that's not the best day to get married. But in the old days, they didn't have money for a Suda Shabbos and a Chasana. So you get married on Friday. That was the best time to get married. You get married on Friday and you have a Suda Shabbos together with a Suda Chasana. You save money. So what happened was these women would go to the chuppah and then they didn't light candles. They come home. It was past Shkia. So the Magen Avraham quotes, they can get a goy during Bein HaShemashos to light candles for them, and then they would make the bracha on the hadlaka of the goy. So that was assuming, not like Rav Soloveitchik's yisod of dafka when you do a maisa, you make a. So this idea of Shechta said from Rav Soloveitchik is, I think, is very mistaber in the, that it's only that a birchas hamitzvah is only when you're doing a maisa. If someone else is doing a maisa, then there's no. and you can't make a berachas mitzvah on somebody else's mice, mistabras. I mean, you know, there's a famous truvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, where he discusses what if you go on a trip and you leave your home, so then maybe when you come back you should make a mezuzah, a bracha again. That's a little bit strange. No one accepted that. You know, because lemaisa, it's still a makom dira even when you're not there. So in other words, Rabbi Kiva Eger was the took it to the pushed the envelope as far as you go, and said maybe taki every time you leave your house, you go away for Shabbos, you putter. Now there's a new chiv. You come back, you know, you were by your in-laws or your parents for Shabbos. Now you come back, you have to make another bracha on the mezuzah. It's a bit. Besides the issue of Rav Soloveitchik's idea of Maisa mitzvah versus not, it's a bit mechudish. Pasha says once you were koveya yedira, so even though you leave for Shabbos, you're still all considered living in that makom. Even though you leave for a Shabbos here, you visit your in-laws, your aunt, your uncle, whatever, your friends, whatever. You come back and after Shabbos to say that the makom, you know, was not chayiv in mezuzah then, and then. And therefore, there should be, you know, a discussion about a new bracha. It's
According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, you would have to take it off anyway because it passed up on an also, so it wouldn't be a problem.
So passed up on an also. Well, not necessarily passed up on an also, because passed up on an also probably is only when the structure itself has some. In other words, if the house is basically untouched, and you, I think even Rabbi Kiva Eger would agree that it wouldn't be tassim at all, so every time you leave. In other words, he wouldn't require to take that much, that much he wouldn't. Now, another thing that happens here in the Heights a lot, Tayyadua, is people come and go. Right? So people come and go. What can I tell you? They have bigger and better things beyond the area here. So the big question that always comes up is, you know, the mezuzah. Yes, take the mezuzah, don't take the mezuzah. So there's a din in the Gemara in Bar Metzia that you're not supposed to take the mezuzah, because you mazik the person that's there. But the Ramah says that you could charge. In other words, you don't have to give him a free. So that's what Ramah says. You offer to sell it to them, and if they want to buy it, fine. If not, if you have a sentimental mezuzah, so you can give them another, you know, put up another mezuzah and take that, perhaps. But as Ramah pointed out, it's not you don't have to give them a free gift.
But if they don't end up paying, you have to leave it.
No. He thought not that way. I thought not that way, but there could be different opinions on that. But but that, you know, these shots come out. Checking mezuzahs. So the key is you should buy a mezuzah from a reliable source from the get-go. So the halacha is twice in 7 years you check the mezuzah. So Rav Shechter likes to quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that b'zman hazeh that maybe shouldn't apply because we have heat control. You know, like in the old days when it was winter, it was winter. You know, like a day like today, you know. But Baruch Hashem, we're inside here, we're fine. Go outside today, it was pretty schwach, you know, pretty nice cold, you know, like in Europe. You know, good cold day. So then the whole house was cold, so then the temperature would change, you know, the mezuzah freezing and stuff like that. Something could happen to the mezuzah. But today, you know, Shechter said for Shlomo Zalman, it should only apply really to the outdoor mezuzahs. But the indoor mezuzahs, maybe mikra din, as long as you know that you bought them from a reliable source, meikara, that you wouldn't you wouldn't have to check the mezuzahs. So that's a that could save a lot of once you take the mezuzahs down, then you have to put them up with. Rabbi pointed out that once you take them down to get checked, so then you have a hesach hadas, maybe they're not going to be kosher, so then you should make Rabbi point out another bracha when you put it up in the if it's a place where it needs a bracha.
Even if it's the same day?
Even if it's the same day, because Pashtus is, Rav Gutman pointed out to me once the Magen Mishnah in Hilchas Sukkah. It says that when you go into a sukkah, you make a bracha. But say you're taking stuff out of the house, so you're getting the next course. You go in, so you don't make another bracha because you're coming back miyad. So anything that's called miyad doesn't require another bracha. But once it's not in the realm of miyad, so it can be the same day, but usually time that it gets back is going to be at least a couple of hours if you start to give it to the sofer and get it back. And Rav Abadi couples the fact with the idea that there's a hesach hadas that you're not sure that you're going to be putting it back. So between coupled with those two svaras, could very well be. So that's why I tell people to make a bracha again on the mezuzah when they put it back up. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the mezuzah doesn't have to be with nails. It could be even with something that's not nails, even though the Shulchan Aruch says Yikbarenu b'masmerim. But it doesn't have to be nails. Rav Shechter said it'll be something that will last as long as the person is planning to live in the house. So but you have these things that have that adhesive. We put up our mezuzahs over a decade ago and it's still doing okay. Beis HaKisei obviously is patur min hamezuzah. This is not a tashmish shel kavod. I told you there's some poskim hold that even a married couple's bedroom is not chayiv in mezuzah. But that we assume that it is. Ad kedei kach, in some people's apartments here in the Heights, that's the only room that's dalet al dalet that has a door. So if they're going to make a bracha, they're going to make it on that. So that sheet is not necessarily the sheet that we usually follow. Sukkas hachag mechag. This patur min hamezuzah. Right? Even though there is an opinion that says it's 2 days in the Gemara in Yuma, whether you have to put a mezuzah on your sukkah or not. We hold not. Because we hold sukkah's diras arai. The Gemara says it's totally that shaila. Is sukkah's diras kever or sukkah's diras arai? So what's the machlokes? Everyone agrees sukkah is only 7 days, maybe 8 days, or whatever. Everyone agrees to that. Right? The Chumash everyone agrees to. So then what's the machlokes? So in the Sefer, I think Rav Mordechai Mann's Sefer, he writes that the stum of the machlokas is, since the Torah is mechayiv you to sit in the sukkah for these days, so maybe that the chiyuv haTorah creates a kvius. And that's the shita that holds that it's considered a diras keva. And therefore, you'd be chayiv in mezuzah. And the other shita is that it doesn't, so therefore that's how we follow the halacha. And then it says chanuya shebeshvakim peturim. The same, it's reish pei vav yud aleph. So why is a storefront potter? So that's what the Taz says, because you're only there in the daytime, you're not there at night. Some lawyers, they're in their office more than they're in their homes. So they, you know, they're there, you know, till all hours.
24 hours.
What?
24 hours, sort of like a Dunkin' Donuts.
7-Eleven, 24 hours, Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, so if you, according to the Taz, maybe in a Hanami, Rav Amari thought that it that still has to be. Well, he's from the sheet of real Dira Mamish. You know, if you take the Taz literally, then in a Hanami you have it. You know, I guess the Taz couldn't envision the, you know, they didn't have stores like that in the time of the Taz, because at night everything. No one. There was no night travel those days. Everything was dark. That's why the halach in Hilchas Chanukah is that if you pass the first half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim, you couldn't light the menorah anymore, because there's no one to light for. Bezman hazeh, everything changed. We have electricity, so that electricity changed a lot of halachas. So now people roam the streets at night. Now you could light the menorah even later, and anyway, we light for the Anshei HaBayis anyway. So if you came home in the 3 o'clock in the morning and you light the menorah, you could still light the menorah. The Magen Avraham says you have to, if someone else has to be up in the house, and Rav Moshe is a tshuva where he holds not that way. So that's a whole discussion. But the Drisha says a different pshat in this Chanuyos. He says Chanuyos was different because Chanuyos were a makeshift. It was like you had a city market. So you have a city market, so then you put up a little booth for a week, just like similar to Sukkos Chag B'Chag, which is in the same sif. But if it's the structure is a permanent structure, so then he thinks that it is chayef. So that's the question of an office. So a person, I always tell people in office that if they want to put it up in their office, put it up without a bracha, because it could be it's not a dira. And if they need an excuse not to put it up, that there's what to rely on, not to have to put it up at all, because maybe it's not a dira b'chlal, even though. You know, if you hold, you need a real makom dira, kipshuto, like Rav Amari holds. If you hold that just knisa alone is good, that that's considered a dira, you know, like Rav Yashiv said and others, so then I still would tell them not to put up a bracha, but not to make a bracha, because, but then there would be more svara, obviously, to be mechayev. Remember, I was in Rabbi Shechter's year for Kiddushin many years ago. So he said over the Chai Adam, when we're doing the sugi of Eved Ivri, al mezuzah, you know, Gisho al Hadelas, o al mezuzah. So the Gemara has a drasha that mezuzah is mu'umad. Like this door, it's mu'umad. But say you have, you know, one of those things in the ceiling. Those trap doors to go to your attic. There's a thing in the ceiling. So then the Chai Adam says, based on that Gemara, that Gemara Dash is my mezuzah mu'umad, that it's only considered a mezuzah if it's mu'umad. But if it's like you have a hole in the ceiling, and you need, you know, you take a ladder and you go. That's how you get to the. Where I grew up, we had an unfinished attic, and there was this thing in the ceiling. I never went there. But so that's the Shach Moriah from the Chai Adam, that based on that sugya in Kiddushin and Eved Ivri, that would be potter in mezuzah, because it's not mu'umad, it's just a opening in the ceiling. Even if it has a, you know, a structure to it, a, you know, a shape to it, but nonetheless it's yeah. Then okay, so these are some of the basic ideas. Yeah.
We're going to check the mezuzahs. You know, if you haven't checked that there, you have to put it back up that day, or once you're checking it.
No. Once you check it, you get it back, you have to put it. In other words, if you own a house, there's no leeways. You know, people sometimes they buy a house, and then they don't have any. You gotta. When you're moving in, the mezuzahs better be there. You can't say, "Oh, I get a free night. I get a free this, a free that." No, the leeway is only by bais chura in chutzlaitz. When it comes to a house that you own, you have to put it right away. And then when you have it checked, you got it right away. If it means that you're getting it back, you know, at an inconvenient time, so you should do it right away. You shouldn't wait because. You know, mela to checking, so you have kveis your onus, you know, you gotta get if you have to get checked. So, but there shouldn't be any heter to procrastinate putting it back up. Yeah, so that's what Rabbi thought. If you don't know who's taking it off, then obviously then you're not going to get paid because you don't know who's. Then you could take it with you, unless it's the yeshiva's mezuzah that they. But it's a mezuzah that you brought and you paid for, and you. So that's what Rabbi thought. That just like you shouldn't be mazik the other guy by taking it off. Well, they shouldn't mazik you by giving you a hefsid. So if you the other guy's there, and he'll pay you the money. Or at least you offer. But if he's not there, you don't know. The rabbi thought you could take it with you. Right, exactly. Yeah. But even without the goyim, you still have this far. Yeah.
The goyim into your apartment for the summer or something,
Yeah, no, if a goyim rents your apartment for the summer, so you don't have to do anything. Maybe you have to cash your kelim, but no. But in terms of the mezuzahs, you don't have to, because the tasev melomen ha'asui is if I would take down this molding, take it out, then I can't just stick it back on. I have to take the mezuzah off and then put it on. That's tasev melomen ha'asui. The guy was in your house for the summer, if that's who you got to rent your house in the summer, then once the summer's over, you just move in. They hope you didn't trafe anything up. And but in terms of the mezuzah, that's, the worry is not in the area of mezuzah. Maybe in other areas, but not in the area of mezuzah. Okay, very nice to be here. Okay, please, if you could say from Mincha, Rabbi Ariel is here.
If anybody has the sheets, you can bring them back to me, please, as I sign the sheet.
Okay. Thank you. Next week, I'll bring them back. Okay.